You know, we live in a society that's... this morning, let me back up. Let me start over. This morning, the adult Facebook, our life group, we talked about being cliquish. And sometimes we, whether it's a secular group, whether it's a club, organization, or even a church, sometimes we can tend to get sort of cliquish. We don't mean to, but we do. But you know, I even look at society, and as I look at society and culture, I see a lot of things happening as well that we can become cliquish. I found an article that was published last May a year ago, 2017. It was written by a political columnist named Moshe Klein. And in that, he presented that individualism is the largest contributing factor to the political unrest in America. Now, you don't have to turn on the news, pull up social media, open your computer, pick up a newspaper if you're not given to electronics. Listen to a radio, whatever it may be. You don't have to go very far in this day and time to realize the political unrest in America. Most of it is given, so Klein writes that he attributes most of the political unrest to the efforts to be individualism or trying to be individual, wanting to be their own self. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's what I'm preaching about this morning. But on the other hand, what I see happening, what I observe happening in America, and I think the Holy Spirit, let me see this, about 3 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit began to put this message together in my mind. He began to let me see another side of us that we sometimes don't think about. The political scene, especially in the millennial society or the millennial generation that is coming on, we have to admit it, as hard as it is. Those of us that are in this room, if you're a baby boomer, if you are the builder generation, you're already retired. In fact, very few probably watching this morning are of the builder generation. The baby boomer generation come along and it ended with those that were born in 1964. I'm just barely a boomer, okay? Most of you that are in this room that are boomers are either already retired, or you're thinking about, we're starting to think about retirement because, you know, we're within that 10-year window of what we consider a normal retirement age. Then following is the millennial age. You millennials, you're different. Then the X-gen comes along, and then Z-gen is upon us as well. But the millennial is now the generation. The millennials are now those that are in their 40s, in their 30s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. And the millennials are the one that are business professionals. The millennials are the one that are the mainstream working group in America now, and they're different. You'll see on the screen in front of you and behind me, of course, you'll see this is a typical millennial suburban neighborhood. If you go to Charlotte, you go to Greensboro, you go to Winston. In fact, you can drive just up the road here a few miles to Glenwood, and you can go by the townhouses that, what is it called, Lakeview, I think, something right up here before you get to Sand Lick Road. And you'll see neighborhoods where the houses almost all look the same. Now, this happened years ago with mining houses, company houses. Some of you all recall how company houses all looked the same. You remember that? But that was because a company built those houses. But now, we're all right, you know, maybe we got a little bit different color roof. Maybe we got something else happening there to make a little, but it drives me crazy. We go down to see Sarah's brother in Charlotte, and it drives me crazy because every one of those places, all the years we've been going down there, I still have to use GPS because everything looks the same. Food Line looks like Walmart. Walmart looks like Burger King. Burger King looks like CVS. All the stores even look the same. We've created uniform communities. There's probably some good about that because, you know, you don't have to worry about your neighbor junking out his old Toyota station wagon and turning it into a chicken coop. Okay? So, Vicky just elbowed Nathan for some reason. I don't know why. What's wrong with that? But the millennial lifestyle, in particular, Western civilization, which we are, we as much as we want to be individual, we've also, in other aspects of our life, we've taken on a cookie-cutter lifestyle. We've taken on a cookie-cutter lifestyle. Even here in rural America, we have taken on a cookie-cutter lifestyle. Some of you... Rod, you probably don't love this, and I know Daryl Poe back there, he's going to like this. And some of you all don't get, you know, listen, some of you all, you don't give a hill of beans about this illustration at all because you don't really care. My wife, it don't, you know, I'm starting to win her over. She's starting to see the light. Just like a blind man wandering along. Far from home. Praise the Lord. She's seeing the light. What you see up there on the screen is a Toyota. It's actually a 2019 Toyota. What you see beside the 2019 Toyota is a 2019 Nissan. What you see underneath the Toyota and the Nissan is a 2019 Chrysler. What you see beside the Chrysler is a 2019 Hyundai. What you see below the Chrysler is a 2019 Honda. What you see beside the Honda is a 2019 Chevrolet. Go bow ties. What you see in front of the bow tie is a 2019 Ford. And then you see a 2019 Buick. And then you see a 2019 Kia. Does anybody understand they all look alike? So what difference does it make? Praise God. What difference does it make? They all look alike. Cookie cutter. It's not only the houses, but listen, you can throw them all together on one car lot. We call them auto malls now. And they all look alike. There's no difference in them. In fact, I happen to know, even as much as a Chevrolet fan that I am, some of the Chevrolet models actually have Kia engines and transmissions in them. Sarah's Volkswagen Jetta has a Nissan transmission. Listen, we are not buying anything for a specific identity anymore. They look the same. They share the same parts. They all look alike. Even Kyle Busch's motor, even though he drives a Toyota, it looks like a Chevrolet motor with the distributor at the wrong place. For those guys will understand that. So we listen. This drives me nuts. And I tell Sarah all the time, I said, you know, this is just crazy because cars have absolutely no personality at all. They have no personality at all. They all look the same. When we read Scripture in Psalms chapter 139, verse 14, the Scripture tells us this. David in this Psalm of praise, the song of praise, he said, I praise you. I don't know what the music was to this, but he says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And your works are wonderful, and I know that full and well. Hallelujah, amen, praise Jesus. He sung a song of praise. He's praying. Listen, David understood that he was unique in the creation of God. You see, but This world that we live in, we're in the middle of what I call, what I've titled here today anyway, we're in the middle of a cloning syndrome. You know, it's weird. Even if you go outside of this country, if you go to Latin America, you go to Africa, you go down into Mexico, you know, wherever you go in the world, everybody else in the world, and everybody's probably too broad a statement, somebody will probably write to me about it, but nearly everybody in the world wants to be like us. I've been in Africa, and you see these guys walking around, and they got on an Atlanta Braves shirt, and they don't have a clue who the Atlanta Braves are. I saw a little meme the other day on social media, and it had this one guy that had a, he was a Latin American fella, and he had this shirt on, and it had a big red heart on it, and it said, "I love my boyfriend." Somebody said, "This is what happened when you send, you know, clothes to American countries where they can't read English." But the reality of it is nearly everybody in the world wants to be like we are. The world, the whole world, the Western civilization is not restricted to the West anymore. Everybody is trying. So whatever we do, everybody else is trying to do. Now I'm not being vain in that, and that's probably not anything really to be so braggadocious about. But we are in this what I call the cloning syndrome, where we are striving to be alike. Now it goes back into the year 1885 when Hans Adolf Edward Bert Dersch separated two cells. That's when cloning was discovered, if you would. It wasn't invented, but it was discovered. And he split the two cells that made up a tiny sea urchin. And since that time, cloning has been is intrigued science. It has intrigued college professors and also laymen alike. Then in 1996, and some of y'all may remember this, in 1996, Dolly the sheep was cloned. A sheep was cloned, and it was the first mammal to be cloned. And it became very political. It became very political. It was very controversial because they began to talk about, science began to talk about, we now even have the ability to clone mammals. The fact of the matter is, we're now on the brink of being able to clone human beings. And it became very controversial. And I know, I've told you, some of you all before, you're like me. When I was birthed, I don't remember it, but when I was birthed, so I've been told that the doctor came in and brought me in and handed me to my mother, and my mother cried when she found out that I wasn't twins. That moment she saw me. Now I know the whole world could probably use two of me and probably two of you. It would be good if we were cloned. Can you imagine a world full of you? Remember that song? It was an older Southern gospel song that said, "What kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? What if the church was that way? What if the world was? What if everybody was just like you?" You think, "Oh man, that would be utopia. You know, that would be New Jerusalem that's already arrived. Bless God, because the whole world would be just like me." You know, but humanity has become intrigued with trying to be alike. Clone simply means to reproduce something to be identical. But I'm perplexed in my mind, in my thinking. Why do we want to be alike? Why does everybody want to live in a house that looks just like the house beside of you? Why does everybody want a car that looks just like everybody else's car? Why does everybody want to wear the same clothes that everybody else has got on? I mean, I is what I is. I am the age I am. And I can remember the eras when everybody, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, where everybody wore Levi's and you rolled the cuff up on the outside of your Levi's while you wore your Chuck Taylor Converse. Some of y'all remember that. Some of y'all that are older like Nathan remember bell bottoms. And the John Travolta shirts with the men's shirts with the blousy sleeves, and they didn't have a button. And a lot of times you can tell people from that era, the guys, because they never button their shirt any further than right here. Sometimes Sarah'll tell me, "You need to button your shirt before you go out." And we find ourselves, we went through all these. My son went through the baggy pants syndrome. Where you had the big legs. I mean, you could take the one leg out of those pants that he always wanted. And his mother won that battle. I fought it. I finally give up. And he gets to get these pants that are so, the legs are so big that you could have made three more pair of pants out of one leg. But his mother won that battle. And he wore them, and about 2 years that wore off. But everybody, seemingly, young people wise, high schoolers, they were wearing those big pants. Why do we always want to be alike? You see, David was not like anybody else. There was an unconventionalism about David. He was different from the beginning. He was a ruddy-faced shepherd boy, the way the Word of God describes him. But not only did he fight a champion, but he also turned down the armor that was given to him when he got the opportunity or had the opportunity to fight this champion. He was crazy. He was a wild man. Here, Saul says, "David, put on my armor. You need to wear it. It's been proven. It's been tested." David said, "Man, this ain't proved nothing to me. I ain't wearing this stuff. It's gonna weigh me down." He was a wild man of sorts. He was different. He was a rebel of sorts. He was a maverick of sorts. He was different. David was his own person. He was his own person. He led with unconventional leadership skills. He danced when it was socially inappropriate to dance. That's why they said, "Oh, did you see David out there dancing? Oh my goodness, he didn't even have all of his clothes on while he was dancing." He was different. He was different. He was not cookie cutter. He was not status quo. He was not clone. He didn't strive to be a clone. But David had received a triple revelation of who God is. When we look at the psalm that we shared, when we look at David's song that he sang, that 139th psalm, when we read that, we see that David received a triple revelation of who God is. Revelation comes from the same word that revealing comes from, which means an unveiling or a disclosing. It's good to know who God is, but I believe that many times that we fail to receive revelation of who God is. Many times we know about God and we've heard about God, but God has never been revealed to us. It's like one of those cookie cutter clone cars. You could cover it up under a tarp, but until that tarp is removed, you'll never really know what exactly is under there, and most likely you'll have to go around and look at the emblem or open the door and look in the door jamb to see what kind it is, because they all look the same. But until it's unveiled, you will never know what it is. And we need an unveiling. We need a revelation of who God is in our life as individuals. And David had such a revelation. It's very apparent to us. In this triple revelation that David had, first thing that we need to know is he knew and he identified with the person of God. You see, if we're going to receive a revelation of God, we've got to identify with the person of God. He is not some entity that lives in a far, far away, distant land. But he is not some fictional character that you read about in some boring book with thousands of pages and 66 chapters. And you have to realize that you have to identify with the person of God. You have to know who He is. We have to know who He is. David knew who he was to him. And then we have to realize our place in God. David knew he had a place in God. Now, David probably didn't understand, but yet David knew that God had a place and purpose for him. When he called him out the backside of the desert from tending sheep, David began to realize God's got something for me. I believe even when he killed the bear, when he ripped the lion apart, I believe David knew God has got something for me. You need to realize, and I need to realize, that that God has got something for us. God wants to use us. God is planning on using us. He may not use you like He's used everybody else, but yet God has a plan to use you in His kingdom. Thirdly, David comprehended, and you and I have to comprehend the works of God as being wonderful. He acknowledged that. He worshiped that. And he sung that in the lyrics of his song. How wonderful you are, God. How wonderful you are. You see, because when we realize that God has fearfully and wonderfully made us, we understand that God has worth. And more importantly to us is not us knowing God's worth, but understanding our worth to God. You see, you have worth to God. You may feel worthless. You may feel invaluable. You may feel like you're no good to anybody. You may feel like you've accomplished nothing in life. And now you're in the latter years of your life. You may feel young. You may be young and you may feel like I'm never going to amount to anything. But understand this. You are worth something to God. In fact, in Psalm 17 and 18, David said, keep me as the apple of your eye, the center, the pupil of your eye. David understood that he had worth to God. Not just God's worth to him, but he had worth to God. You have to understand, I need to understand that we have worth to God. And these works that he does, wonderful means without comprehension, immeasurable, astonishing. So what was David's responsibility? His responsibility was to be what God wanted him to be. That's your responsibility and my responsibility. My responsibility is to be what God wants me to be. Now, as pastor, my responsibility is to help you develop your giftings and your talents. And it's a responsibility of the church because Jesus said, go out and make disciples. He didn't say make Christians. He said make disciples. So there's a responsibility to help you develop what God has given you. But in reality, I nor the church or any other church or any other pastor can give you anything. But what God has given you, He wants to develop. And He wants to work through you. Nobody can be quite like you. I want you to understand that. I want you to realize that. So it's not, David didn't have a desire to be a clone of Saul. He expressed that when he said, I don't want this armor. You don't have the response. Listen, I meant to bring it with me today and I forgot it. I've got shelves full of books and Bibles that we've got them at our house and I've got the ones here. But I've got a Bible that's on my shelf at home. And it's a Bible that I was using when I received the call of ministry. It's a Bible that I used in the early years of ministry. Man, that thing is written full of stuff. It is highlighted full of stuff. Some stuff is really good. Some stuff I wrote down was really dumb. But I was learning. Okay? And I'm still learning. And I think I've told you this story before, but in that, it was just a cheapo Bible. I think it maybe come from Walmart or Roses or somewhere like that. And it wasn't but it was a truthful Bible. It was a truthful Bible. You know, some of you like me, I got this Bible right here and I love the Word of God, but somehow I don't know if this Bible is truthful or not. Because this part, actually it's already wore off. This part that says genuine leather, I don't know if that is true or not because I look at it, I don't think it is. Everything inside of it is true though. But it wasn't no leather Bible. Pardon my English. It wasn't no leather Bible. It was just paper and pasteboard, I guess, whatever. But I had been in church, I was associate pastor, we had been in a revival. Man, the guy that had come to preach revival was preaching the proverbial paint off the walls, and I'm in the car, we're leaving church, and Zach is in the back seat, my son and his mother was up in the seat beside of me, and we're leaving church, and I never will forget this, is this like yesterday? And I said, man, I said, I wish I could preach like old brother so-and-so can preach. He leans up over the, puts his elbows on the back seat of that car. He said, Dad, you need not worry about it. He said, because preachers are unique. I said, sit down and shut up. You should have your seatbelt on anyway. Being the godly dad that I've been all of my life. I said, you don't even know what unique means. He said, I do so. I said, well, what does it mean, big boy? And he's about maybe 7 or 8 years old, somewhere thereabout. He said, it means that everyone is different. Everyone is different. He said, and you're not supposed to be like that man. You know what? An 8-year old taught me a good lesson. And when I was in the Bible that I'm referring to, in front of that Bible right now, and it's well worn out, but in front of that Bible, sort of like I've got something taped in this one. While we were riding home in the back of the car, he took a little piece of notepad paper and he drew a picture of, I had hair back then, and he drew a picture of me with hair, and he said that was me, and he wrote my name above it, and he, in his limited spelling ability in that time, he wrote underneath it, preach the Word of God. License to preach. And I take that in the front of that Bible and it's still there today. And quite frankly, I do go to that Bible because there's a whole lot of knowledge and words that have been accumulated in that Bible through the years. But what I'm saying this is to you, no one can be like you. And no one can be like me, and they're not called to be. I'm not called to be John Hagee. I'm not called to be Joel Osteen. I'm not called to be Jensen Franklin. I'm not called to be Perry Stone. I'm not called to be anybody else. I am only called and designed to be me. And you are only called and designed to be you. So you're only supposed to be who God wants you to be. So David was just what God called him to be. He was not a clone of Saul. He led differently in spite of his failures. But 2 times Scripture refers to David as a man after God's own heart. You see, in David's individualism, David's pursuit was not to be like Saul. It wasn't to be like Samuel. It wasn't to be like Moses or Jacob. It wasn't to be like anybody else. David's pursuit was after God's own heart. Are you listening to me? David's pursuit was after God's own heart. If you will pursue God's heart for you, His heart for you, if you will pursue God's heart for you and quit worrying about being anybody else, just let God make you who He wants you to be. You just be who God wants you to be. Don't try to be anybody else. You know, I guess I'm getting my rants out today. I'm getting my pet peeves out. Yesterday, Sarah and I was listening to the radio last night as we was driving. We'd been out for a few minutes and we had the radio on. And here comes this song on. It was a good song. And quite frankly, the young lady that sings the song, I know her, and she can sing good with the exception of one thing. She tries to sing like Sonya Isaac. Some of y'all know who Sonya Isaac is, right? The Isaacs, the blonde-headed with the Isaac. She tries to sing like Sonya Isaac. And I told Sarah, I said, she ain't Sonya Isaacs. She's trying to be somebody she's not. Now, I know this is gonna get all worldly right now. But you know, it's county fair time coming up in Mercer County, right? And Tazewell's had one going on. Wythe County had one going on. Yeah, everybody, New River Valley Fair been going on. And you know, a popular thing in the last few years that's come along is like, you have the Eagles tribute band. I know none of y'all ever listened to the Eagles. Vince Gill's an Eagle right now, by the way. None of y'all ever listened to the Eagles. But you have an Eagles tribute band. And then you can have a whoever tribute. And you have these, you can go out to Pigeon Forge and there is a Memories Theater. Elvis Presley impersonator. I took my first wife's mother, my deceased wife's mother there one time and they had a Tom Jones impersonator. And he had one of those shirts that I was talking about earlier, he started throwing stuff out and all this, and I thought, oh Lord, I gotta, now my mother, oh, she's a Pentecostal woman, she's a holiness woman. I said, I probably shouldn't have brought her in here. We may need to get her out. We're sitting right on the front row. Lord have mercy, she was fighting them other women over them scarves. I thought, what am I going to do? You know. But you know what? The Eagles impersonator, you know what they're always going to be? The Eagles impersonator. You know what the Elvis impersonator is going to be? They're going to be the Elvis impersonator. You know what the Sonya Isaacs impersonator is going to be? She's always going to be the Sonya Isaacs impersonator. If I were a John Hagee impersonator, I would always be a John Hagee impersonator. But understand this, God has given us a uniqueness to be what He has called us and designed us to be. You preach it like God's give you to preach it. You sing it like God's give you to sing it. You design it like God's give you to design it. You do what God has given you to do. This church, God has given this church a unique personality. We're not supposed to be Abba's house. We're not supposed to be Perry Stone's church. We're not supposed to be anybody else. We are supposed to be what God has given us to be and nothing else, because He has put us in this community to serve this community, and we can't do it unless we be who we are. And then spit all over my iPad. So no one can be quite like you, or no one can be quite like us as a church. Y'all know my car. You know I love, if it's got a motor in it, you know I love it. I love custom cars. It's a sickness. Right, Poe? It's a weakness. That's probably either a 49 or a 50 Mercury. It's got flames. It's got a DeSoto grill. It's got a DeSoto bumper. It's got, I don't know what the corner pieces is. It's got like Cadillac hubcaps on it. It's got French headlights. Man, that thing, it's been chopped. It's been dropped. It's had everything in the world. That's my kind of car. If you see that coming down the road, there ain't gonna be another one out there look like it. But then you may have the next guy that comes along, he'll have tail fins. And for those of you that don't understand what tail fins are, that's this part right here. Tail fins. I like tail fins. And then you got another car that even if it's a VW, no top. Convert treble. That's actually more than a convert. That's a lift off top. I love it. It's all right as long as it don't rain. And then, man, you got the fancy pearlescent paint. That paint that costs thousands of dollars. And you put it on a car that it's a one-of-a-kind car. There's none other around because it's been customized. And then you got the one that don't even have any paint on it. We call them rat rods in the car world. I love them too. I like them all. That's my problem. And then you got the ones that set real high. And here you go, Daryl Poe, you got the one that sits real low. I did that just for you, my friend. But they're all custom, and none of them look alike. A or B? B or A? I have been to optometrists before. A
They're different. They're customized. You know what they are? They are unique in their creation. They're actually considered works of art. And that is exactly what you are. That is exactly what I am. We are works of art in the kingdom of God on the canvas of life. There is nobody else just like us. It's just like a snowflake. It's just like a thumbprint. It's just like your DNA. There is nothing else. There is no one else quite like you. There doesn't need to be anyone else quite like you. And you don't need to be like anybody else. Just be who God has called you to be. And let us as a church be who God has called us to be. That's our number one mission. That's not our number one mission. It's just simply to be who and what God wants us to be. And if we will be who God wants us to be, His blessings will be over our life. While I'm not so sure if we're fabricating and we're trying to clone or be somebody else, that He can bless us at least to the fullness that He wants us to be. You know, I probably don't want to misstate this, but I've heard it said, I think it's in Dave Ramsey in his financial teaching. He said, what happens to people? People get in financial trouble because they spend money they don't have on stuff they don't need, trying to impress people that don't really even care. That's what happens to us as people. Because we can't come to grips with this being who God wants us to be. Now, does that mean does that mean that we don't work on improving our skills or improving ourselves or working for a better job or anything like that? And that's not what I'm talking about at all. If that's what's where your mind's going, I've lost you along the journey. But what it is in our walk with Christ, let me tell you something. I'm like any other red-blooded pastor. I've always wanted to pastor a church. To me, the ideal church would be a church of about 250 people. And I'm like any other red-blooded pastor. That's why in reality, if I wanted to do that, I probably shouldn't be in the Appalachian Conference. Because that's not what the Appalachian Conference is comprised of. But you know what? You know what? I remember a number of years ago, Bain and Barbara James were leading a prayer conference, and they called me out, and I would say I know exactly what it means. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I never will forget, they called me out particularly, called me up front, and they prayed over me, and they laid their hands on me, and then Barbara James, the World Intercession Advisor for our whole denomination in that time, brought this word to me. She said, "You will go forth in the spirit of Gideon. You will take few and do great things." Now, that's hard for me because I don't want a few. I want a lot. Okay? But I have to tell myself every once in a while, I've got to live my life. I've got to minister the way that God has designed for me to minister. I'm sure Gideon would like to took the whole bunch with him, but after God done eliminated some of them at the brook, but Gideon accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish, and in the end, God gained a greater glory for what was done. Are you with me? And that's what you and I need to do. Again, we're the same as a snowflake, a diamond, or a fingerprint. We're unique in the sight of God. And our identity in Christ should also be unique. Whitney, if you'll... Chase, you want to help your sister? Be great, sir. Your identity and my identity in Christ should be unique. So we need to go from cloning. The cracker box cars, the houses, everything needs to look alike. I need to look like everybody else. I need to act like everybody else. I need to preach like everybody else. I need to teach like everybody else. I need to sing like everybody else. I need to do whatever. You know, we call it fashion and we call it trends. But do you realize how many people that get rich off of that stuff? You ever run across some of those people that still have those 1975 haircuts? They still wearing the mullets, still wearing the same kind of clothes they wore in 1975. And you look at them, you say, "Boy, man, they're outdated." You know. And we begin to judge people by, well, they don't look just like I look, or and listen to me, I understand the value of relevance. I think as a church we need to be relevant. I want to be relevant. But you know what? I thought about this, and Carrie, can you come up here a minute? I want you to help me. You can help me do this. I know I got to bring the plane in for a landing, but just bear with me just a minute. I want you to say whatever in Spanish. Just say something in Spanish. Say whatever you want. White, turn him up a little bit, Zach. White, now go ahead.
Ya quiere me hablar en español un poquito. ¿Es suficiente?
Yeah.
Y dice, no sé. Pero no puedo hablar mucho más.
Oh, yeah. Sí.
Sí.
Sí. I don't know. Thank you, Carrie. You know what? A 10-week stay in Honduras didn't learn me a thing. I have absolutely no idea in the world what he just said. Except C. And I don't even know what that means. Yes. Hola. I did learn hola. 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 When Nathan fell off the scaffolding, I know what meant. That wasn't in Spanish. But you know, the reality of it is, I didn't understand what he said because, and of course, I envy people in a righteous envy that can speak multiple languages. But I didn't understand what Carrie said. You know why? Because it didn't apply to me. It wasn't my culture. Now, he could have said something to me. No doubt, my guess is, what Carrie probably said is, "You're a very handsome fellow pastor, and you're one of the best pastors that I've ever sat under in the world, and you do a great job, and you deserve a 25% raise." That's what Carrie just said. That almost. No, you know what? We couldn't understand what. You know what? Because it's not who we are. It's not who we are. We are English-speaking Anglos, and it's not where we are unless you are knowledgeable enough and have been learned the Spanish language. Understand, God wants to take us from being clones, from doing everything the same, to be just like everybody else, into creativity. We are unique vessels. We are vessels that He has designed intricately. There is no one like you. Just be who God wants you to be. Let's be a church that God wants us to be. Let's don't be anybody else but who God wants us to be. Will you stand to your feet? With heads bowed in this place right now, is there one person in this room? Is there one person at all in this room that will say, "Pastor, I need to be saved"? Or, "Pastor, I need to rededicate my life"? Is there one person in this room?
As I look around, I don't see any responses. So I'm assuming everybody in this room is content with where you stand with God. But this is what I want to ask you right now. If you're watching by Facebook or you're listening by EV Radio and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray and ask Him to live in your heart, forgive you of your sins, and occupy that space in your life. And you need to tell somebody that you've given your heart and life over to Him, that you've surrendered. But in this room this morning, right now, I want to ask, is there anybody in this place that has been in search of your identity? You may be young, you may be well up in years, but you're still hunting and searching and you're looking for your identity of who God wants you to be. Is there one person? That doesn't mean you're backslidden. Doesn't mean that you don't know God. But it does mean you're just looking for your identity, for who God wants you to be. Is there one person in this room right now? Thank you. Are there any others? Thank you. Are there any others? Thank you. Are there others? A number of hands. Thank you. Thank you. Hands that have gone up all over this room. So let me tell you, I want you to look this way with me right now. Right now. I can't make it happen in your life. I can pray with you. I can pray for you. But you, like David, you've got to receive that revelation, a threefold revelation. And as you receive that threefold revelation, you identify with the person of God. You realize your place in God, and then you realize that God has created you unique. And you're His wonderful work. When you realize that and you take that into consideration, could it happen instantaneously? Yes, it could be an instantaneous revelation. But more than likely, it's going to be every single day of your life when you get up to go to work or school or whatever you do tomorrow. Whatever you do tomorrow, you're going to have to get up and you're going to say, I am who I am in Christ Jesus. And today I will be who I'm supposed to be in Christ Jesus. I will not be somebody else. I will not be what somebody else wants me to be. But I will be who I am in Christ Jesus. When you come to that place in your life, you will come to a place where you will find peace of mind. Until then, you will not find peace of mind. Until then, while you're trying to be what somebody else wants you to be, or what you think you should be, and so forth and so on, until then, you are always going to be perplexed, and you always are going to be struggling, wondering if you're pleasing God. But when you come to that place where you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you will be satisfied and know that I am pleasing Him, I'm walking in Him, I am His unique creation, and He is blessing my life, and I will be everything that He wants me to be. So there was probably more than a dozen people in this room this morning that slipped up your hand. And I want you right now, it's not an embarrassment, because I'll just be frank with you, every once in a while I have to go back to that place myself. And right now I want you to, if you raised your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand, I want you to make your way down front. And we're going to come together and agree in faith, and we're going to agree in prayer that your identity is not going to be based on what you see somebody else doing or what you think somebody else wants you to be, but your identity is going to be found in Christ Jesus. So if you slipped up your hand right now, I want you to come down here and I want you to pray with me, and I'm going to pray with you right now. Will you come? Will you come? Real quickly. Real quickly. Real quickly. Real quickly. And if you didn't raise your hand, I want you to come and I want you to join with us in prayer. And as we join in prayer, I want to tell you something. Every one of you that raised your hand, there's people that you will reach. Listen. Carrie could speak that, whatever he spoke. I still don't know what he spoke. Of course, you understand I was joking.
about thinking what he spoke. But understand this. Kerry could have went into a Hispanic service, spoke what he spoke, and there would be understanding. He would have related to them. There's people in this world, there's people in this community that only Charlie Howard is going to relate to. There's people that only Kerry is going to relate to. There's people that only Amanda is going to relate to. There's people in this community that only you are going to relate to. There's people that this church will relate to. Yes, we can be versatile. Yes, we can be relevant. But there are people that God has called us to relate to. And we must position ourselves to relate to them. Listen, you only need to be concerned about being what God has called you to be. Don't try to fake it, because if you try to fake it, you're going to break it. Just be what God has called you to be. Right now, we're just going to anoint. If those of you that raise your hand, step up here just a little bit, so I'll know which ones of you that were, because I can't remember everybody. If you raise your hand, come on up here, young man. Appreciate you, buddy, being here today. We're just going to anoint you with oil. Anybody else? I know there was more than this, but nonetheless, right now, those of you that are behind them, I want you to reach up and I want you to put your hand upon their shoulder, lay it on the back of their head. But before you pray for them, I want you to lean over and I want you to say to that person that you're standing beside, I just want you to be yourself in Jesus. I just want you to be yourself in Jesus. And right now, we're going to start praying. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we realize we are wonderfully and uniquely created in your sight. God, we are not called to be anybody else. Lord, we're not called to be imitators of another.